Welcome to Workshop Wednesdays with Tony Gambone, where you will learn how to build your business and take it to the next level. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
All right, welcome to the show. And it is Wednesday, the 2nd of December. Holy cow, the year is almost up. We have, I believe 4 weeks left, maybe a couple days less than that. Means we're on the 2nd, so let's do the math. 29 more days of this year, 2015. So as we look back over the year of 2015, what stands out to you the most? Is it your successes, your failures? Is it a tie? Is it have you done good and bad? Is it the things that you've learned? Is it the things that you want to put in place for next year? How do you look back at all? I mean, that's a tough question. I was looking back to last December, and I realized that that was my second best month of year 2014. Yeah, second best month I had making money in the year 2014 was the first 2 weeks of December. And, you know, I asked myself why, or as I looked at some of the stuff that I jotted down, it looks like I did not allow the Christmas music, the crowded mall, Black Friday, interfere with my mind thinking that everyone was getting ready for Christmas and they put everything else on hold. I kept working forward on everything just like it was June 1st instead of December 1st. And I've created that environment again this year because, well, I would like to make December the last month of the year, the best month of the year. So it's a little bit of a challenge for myself, but I think that that's something that we have to do. We have to create challenges as a business owner to allow ourselves to be more successful. We have to overcome the basic ideas to pop into our head that why we can't do it this month and why not right now. We create these obstacles, I guess is the word to use, in our mind that allows us to believe that, well, we just can't do it. So what do you do for the whole month of December? Nothing. Maybe it's the first month of summer when everyone's going on vacation with their children because they're out of school. Every month has a different reason why you might not be able to do business. But the reason always comes down to the choice you make today that's going to create anything for you today. So if you make no choices today, there's nothing that's going to happen. If you choose to do nothing, you're going to get nothing. If you choose to try to make some calls and create some business, stir up some activity, well, you have a better chance, right, of doing business. And I have found over the years that if you stir up the pot, whatever's at the bottom is going to come up to the top. And you're going to be able to see more than if you just let the pot sit still. So, I mean, I can go on and on about this. I try to hit it every week on the show because I want people to remember that if they just reach down a little bit, grab up of some of the stuff that they know that they have that they haven't been using, and we all are guilty of that. I haven't conquered this, folks. But we all have the opportunity to do better, as long as we're committed to try. So, I mean, there's 8 hours in the day, and if you're an entrepreneur or a solopreneur, or if you work for yourself, if you have an executive position in a corporation, if you're just a frontline employee or a stay-at-home parent, the fact of the matter is you got to commit to doing what you need to get done every day, or it's not going to get done. The house will be messy. The children won't look neat when they go to school. Nothing's going to end up properly. The bills won't get paid. Your business won't succeed. Your employees won't respect you. I mean, this just keeps on going, right? So it always comes down to a choice that we make in our life that's going to help us be better. So when you wake up in the morning, do you have a list of things that you have to make a choice on? Do you do that after you hit Facebook? Maybe you just want to read Twitter a little bit or Snapchat. Enjoyment is good. But there's a time and place for everything. And the first thing in the morning is the time to get yourself ready for your day. And I know a lot of people say, I'm not real good in the morning. But if you wait until the evening, everyone else is done doing business. So you have to create a better attitude or process so that you can get better at what you're doing. If you don't, what's going to happen? Nothing. And when nothing happens, that means you make no money. If you make no money, well, hey, it's not going to be an easy December or the other 11 months either. So it's important that you understand that it's up to you to create the activity that you want. You know, it's said many times, you're right where you are because of the choices that you make. Now, sometimes that it might not be 100% true in your mind, but in reality it is, because along the way, the things that you've chosen to do, it's what gotten you to where you are today, good, bad, or otherwise. And look, life's not just a bunch of happy, smiling days. There's a lot of stuff that we go through that allows us to understand the struggles of a business owner, of a human being, of a parent, of a child, all that. But that's how we learn, right? So if you're not willing to learn, well, you have to reevaluate what it is that you're doing. I've been doing a radio show here on Tough Talk Radio Network for 7 years. And one of the things that I've learned from doing the shows for 7 years, it's a way for me to learn. So there's many times where I thought, well, I should not maybe do something else. Maybe I'll just do something else instead of just do radio. How would I learn? I'd have to teach myself all over again to learn. Because the people I bring on the shows allows me to become more educated from what they're doing. So in your business, if you're trying to grow your business and you're not having conversation with others, how are you going to grow? Maybe you need to listen to more podcasts, more radio shows, call into the shows, talk to the people, ask questions. Maybe you need to join a local networking group in your area, a mastermind group, hire a coach, a mentor, hang around with people that you know are being more successful than you are. We know all this stuff, but we choose not to always do it. And when we do choose to do it, we don't commit 110%. So for me, this year, 2015, I have committed to make December better than any other month out of the year. What is it for you? Call in the show, 347-989-1363. We always have great shows lined up here on Workshop Wednesdays, and there's a whole list of shows on Tough Talk Radio Network. You can find out by going to toughtalkradionetwork.com. What I like about today's show is we have people that were committed to be successful. Grammy-nominated songwriter, an Amazon new adult bestseller. These are people that committed to doing better, to being better, overcoming the obstacles, figuring out how to get through the mess, how to stay committed day after day after day. And we're going to find out for them how they balance that out. What do they do to balance their day out? How do they separate their passion from their life? How do they make sure that they spend time with their family, their children, their pet, or just quiet time? How do they do that? Because it's not easy. How do you turn it off? How do you turn it back on? How do you stay committed 100%? We have two great guests today. We're going to find out more about that here in a few minutes. But before we get to that, I want to make sure everyone knows how to get in touch with us. Facebook, you can find me under Tony Gambone. Or you can go to Tough Talk Radio Network and find us on Facebook there as well. You can find me on Twitter under Tony Gambone or TTR Network. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. You can connect with me any social media site that you're on. If you just type in my name, I'll pop up. Or Tough Talk Radio Network. We always are looking to connect with others around the world. That's the beauty of radio. Internet radio gives us the access to gain more growth and visibility in every place you want to go to. So, if you want to be a guest on the show, go to workshop-wednesdays.com. Register to be a guest. Select a date that's available for you to meet your schedule. We'd love to share what you're doing, the adversities and the challenges that you've overcome, the successes that you've experienced, and the failures that came along the way as well. Because, look, if you're not failing, you're not growing. Don't kid yourself. No one's got it all under control. So my name is Tony Gambone. We're here on Workshop Wednesdays. We're here every Wednesday from 10:30 to 11:30 Central Standard Time, coming to you live out of Houston, Texas. We're going to take a commercial break. I'm going to get some tea from my throat. I apologize. I got one of them sinus things happening today. And then we're going to come back with my first guest, a young lady by the name of M. Lacey. She's a Grammy-nominated songwriter and a traditionally published novelist. And she's got a long list of things that she's accomplished. But we're going to be right back after this here short break.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
All right, welcome back to Workshop Wednesdays. My name is Tony Gambone, and as I mentioned before the commercial break, we're here every Wednesday from 10:30 to 11:30 Central Standard Time on the Tough Talk Radio Network. You can call into the show 347-989-1363 and join the show, ask your questions, or bring your suggestions. So my first guest, as I mentioned, is a young lady by name. She goes by M. Lacey. She's a Grammy-nominated songwriter, a published novelist. She's an advanced Toastmaster and a music director for several assemblies. She's also the CEO of her own startup, Music Scribes, which turns aerial music into sheet music and custom arrangements in film scoring for clients. Okay, so I'm going to stop there because I want to let her tell us more about that. So, Ms. Lacey, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me. Very excited to be here.
Thank you. And I know that I recognize the area code. You're calling in from New York, but tell us where you're from originally. Yes,
I am from a myriad of different locations, but I guess I would claim North Carolina, since that was the I lived there the longest, and then I moved from North Carolina to here. And I've been in New York for almost 10 years, so I mean, I'm basically a New Yorker.
Well, so that's quite a change in food.
Yeah.
From North Carolina to New York,
sure.
Huh?
Yeah, for yeah. Sure. New York is definitely fast-paced. Definitely hustle, and definitely my cup of tea, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I'm from the Northeast and live in Texas, so I've been blessed to be able to, you know, experience a lot of different things, and I've been in North Carolina as well. So,
okay.
Do you think that those journeys have helped you to adjust to who you've become?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I've lived in so many different places. I mean, I've lived in Philadelphia. I've lived in upstate New York. I've lived in Maryland. And I think that being able to interact with different types of people going through different types of things and moving at different rates, you know, just being able to continue to persevere regardless of your surroundings, I think that definitely helped me a lot to be able to just kind of jump into any situation and power through it.
Okay, so I always like to get people to tell me a little bit about themselves so our listeners can understand more about who you are and how you got to where you are today. Now, I'm reading here about University of North Carolina, New York University. You've gotten degrees in music and in management. Take us along that journey. Tell us you know, what brought you to New York? I'm assuming it was music, but tell us how,
right.
you know, your journey from North Carolina to New York and starting your own business and, you know, becoming a Grammy-nominated songwriter. That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Well, as a kid, I was always into writing and music and sort of the creative side of things. But I was also into math randomly, and I think it kind of went hand in hand with being into music. And as I grew up, I was super creative and always writing songs and writing poems and things like that. But as is often the case, my parents were like, well, definitely make sure that you study something practical. So I went into UNC and I studied business management and economics. And that was a really smart move, even though I at first was sort of rebellious against it. And then after attaining that degree, I was like, well, I still have this burning passion for music. And I moved ahead and went to New York University to study music and then, you know, went on to pursue music in a professional manner and also in, you know, at nights I would sort of sing with my friends and join, you know, create a band and play at clubs and things like that. But I always made sure to keep things relatively professional and make sure that I was making money with my music. And I think that came from, you know, the business and economics background that I had first attained when I started studying at college. So that's pretty much the gist of, like, my mindset.
So is anyone else in your family musically inclined, or, you know, did you inherit this from someone in your family?
Not really, actually. I mean, my mother had sung in the choir, although don't tell her, but she wasn't like the greatest member in the choir. and then my brothers, you know, they picked up instruments, but nobody really pursued it heavily like I did. I just kind of delved into it. And part of it was because I'm actually legally blind. So I decided, you know, it was more the feeling of music that really touched my heart and soul. And I had to continue to pursue that because I'm all about, you know, the feels. And so I knew I had to keep music in my life and keep writing and creation in my life. So, yeah.
Okay. So were you born blind, or did that happen along the way?
I was born blind. And that's the funny thing. People go, you know, oh, don't you wish you could see better? Don't you wish you could this or that? But the truth is I don't actually know what I'm missing, so I can't wish for it.
Right. I have a cousin who was born blind, and he was a musician. He's now a lawyer. Of course, he's in his 60s now, but
right.
He, you know, that was a creative tool, I guess, to
yeah.
say, you know, they took one thing but gave you much more. And, I mean,
right.
to be able to express it in music and writing, most people that have 20/20, you know, are stuck in a ditch in their life somewhere and can't express
right.
anything. So
right.
I think you're pretty blessed because of that. So you write music. Do you play instruments? Do you sing?
Yeah, so I sing, I play the piano, I play the guitar. As you mentioned, I notate sheet music, and I also studio record, as in produce. So I try to have my tendrils in all different aspects of music. And then, of course, I also songwrite for myself and for others.
Okay, so I got to go back to this because I really respect this, Nate, because I have a family that has experienced this. You know, I'm from
right.
Philadelphia. My cousin used to ride the train downtown and do all the stuff and come back, and he was by himself, and he had money in his hands and in his pocket, and when he made his way through. You've traveled a lot of places. What keeps you, because in the beginning of my monologue, I talked about commitment. What keeps you
right.
committed to stay off the feel sorry for myself couch and push forward to be successful?
Well, you know what? There was something else you had mentioned in your monologue about, you know, how do you you know, juggle your passion and your life. And I feel like my passion is my life, and that's how I'm able to stay so committed. Because, you know, everybody wishes all day that they can kind of just, you know, sit on a couch or just hang out with their kids, play with their pets, or just, like, do whatever they want to do. And if that's the way you feel about your job, then you don't really feel like you're working. So my job, which is to sort of create music or to create compositions or even to just, you know, work, harp on my social media and build my business, that's actually my passion as well. So I feel just as excited to, and even more excited to do that than to sort of watch TV or, you know, do other sort of leisurely things. So my leisurely passion is also my work life. And I feel like because I feel that way about my work, I am able to constantly be committed because I never really feel like I'm working. I just feel like I'm sort of chasing my passion and sort of almost living my dream. And I'm kind of, you know, I recently learned this new word, and it's I guess it's not new, but it's a new concept, and it's called flow state. And your flow state is sort of the state you're in when you're just working, you know, your highest productivity. You're just in the zone. You're just feeling it, and like nothing can kind of, and time slows down because you're just in the zone. And I feel like you get into that flow state when you are sort of pushing your passion. So when you're working at something passionately and efficiently, you enter that flow state. And then that's when you, you know, that's when you sort of feel like you're achieving like your height, you know, you're achieving at your highest potential. So
right. And so I'm assuming, I mean, I like the word flow state. I mean, it says a lot. Yes. You're flowing, you're right where you need to be, you're just in that state yes. of mind. But there's yes. times when the flow state comes to a halt. And then yeah. there's like the everyday reality that we don't need to face or want to face. So yeah. how important is it to remember the flow state so that you can get back to it or get through the other piece of life?
One of the other things I had learned about flow state is actually a lot of the times you get into it after sort of a hardship or after kind of like after you are kind of in a bind and a crinkle and you have to sort of push yourself into a flow state. So it doesn't really come. You know, it's like you also, like you mentioned in your monologue, it's a choice, you know, just like everything right. is a choice, just like whether you want to wear a red shirt or a blue shirt, whether you want to sit around and mope or whether you want to stand up and start running to the finish line, it's a choice. And I think that the actual difficult question is how to get yourself to realize that you're not making the right choice. You know, to realize that I do have a choice and that I should make that choice to start running towards the finish line as opposed to moping around at the starting line and, you know, looking at everybody's backside as they're running and going, I can't run.
right.
That's the real,
right.
that's
or
the
I
real tough part.
Or I can't see. I mean,
or I
you
know,
have
exactly.
something to remind you every day that,
yeah.
you know, you have to stay in. You know, I think it was Brian Tracy that says that you can get to the front of the line as long as you stay in line. You
right.
know, and so it's so important to do that. And, you know, there's the other side of the coin, too, where people say, well, you know, you were born blind, so you're lucky. You get to remember every day. Well, I don't know if that's called lucky or not, but so
mm-hmm.
we all need to pick the reason. And like you said, it's usually after you go through some tough times. And us
mm-hmm.
as Americans are pretty lazy, so it has to be a life-threatening situation before we pay attention. So
right.
I think that's
right.
awesome, and I like that. I'm gonna have to steal that flow right
flow
off
state.
You. I'm gonna borrow that. Yeah, that's awesome. So,
go for it.
Okay.
It's not originally mine, so it's just a term out
well,
there
I'm blaming
that
it on
I came
you,
across.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that. So time goes fast, so I want to make sure we get everything in. Your website is ML, I'm going to spell it out so everybody can find it, MLACHI.com, okay?
Right.
And on the website, it's a lot of good stuff. There's
yeah.
the book, and I want to jump into the book, okay? The Ivory Staff.
Yes.
Now, what made you decide to write a book? I'm assuming but please correct me, that this is how you express yourself, is through the words and lyrics the music that you produce.
Yeah, yeah. It's all about writing for me, so songwriting and word writing together both sort of kind of define me creatively. And I'm very imaginative, I guess is a good word, and sometimes I get overwhelmed with all of my worlds and characters and this and that's in my head, and I just have to spill it onto a page. And so that's where the Ivory Staff came about. It's actually my second big writing work, but it's my first full-length novel. And it's gotten a lot of great buzz and a lot of great reviews, so I'm really excited about it. And I've actually started writing my second novel. And both of these are fiction, but they sort of showcase the reality of where we are today and a lot of the political intrigue and a lot of the social setbacks that we're facing right now that we need to overcome. And I set that through characters that persevere through some pretty tough character flaws. And the reason I write that way is because I myself have a very tough character flaw of being blind and having to kind of constantly overcome it and constantly persevere it. So I love to write songs that showcase perseverance and, again, write novels that also showcase sort of overcoming the underdog state of, you know, that many people find themselves in.
Well, I'm surely inspired, I think is the word I want to use, by what
awesome.
You're doing, because,
right.
you know, I've traveled from one end of the country to the other, and mm-hmm. someone with 2020 vision, I have done a lot of things that look like I was blind, and you are moving forward, and you know where you want to be, and you know what you want
right.
to do, you're passionate about it, you're able to express it. Now, I'm going to just go out on a limb and say that not every day is a warm and fuzzy for you, okay?
No.
But you are out there every day creating, the opportunity from the choices you make when you get up. So to me, that's how you can recognize success, is by not as much the dollar signs that come along, but by the steps
right.
that you're forcing yourself to take every day and the results
yeah.
from that. So
yeah.
I think that's awesome.
Very well said. Very well said. I totally agree with that.
I would love to be rich, you know what I mean, and have all that money, but it wouldn't make me any different of a person, or
exactly.
I should say it wouldn't make me any better of a person, you know, other than I
yeah.
might be able to pay my bills a day earlier. So I have a question for you, and I'm sure you get asked this a lot, but I want to find out, do you watch The Voice?
I have watched The Voice in the past. I think it's a cool show. I think it's interesting. I actually had auditioned for The Voice and gotten to the level where they hand you the contract, you know, to see if, you know, you could be on television and this and that. And there was something a little too ownership-y about the contract that I wasn't necessarily excited about. I think they end up owning like 75% of all of your gross income, which I guess would include anything you do for I don't know how many years. So I thought, like, wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
You know? And
yeah.
and it makes a lot of sense for you know, kind of like green behind the ears musicians and singers who really want to get their foot in the door. But I felt that I have so many other opportunities. And I've already accomplished so much with the Grammy nomination and this and that, that I'm not sure I would be happy to give up 75% of my, like, person to another entity.
Right.
And then, you know, you come out and you see these people come out of The Voice, and it's not like they become chart-topping superstars. So if they could guarantee sort of, like, chart-topping superstardom, that would be a different story. But you know, so I mean, I was a little hesitant to kind of jump in there full force due to that contract.
but it's a great show. Yeah, I've never gotten that type of an answer from someone that's been involved with that. So interesting. It's very interesting. I like
right.
the fact that they don't judge who or what you look like before they, you know, choose to turn their seat around. They go by your voice. So
yeah,
I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know,
that is actually a really great concept, because at the end of the day, it's like, you know, talent is talent. You know, vocal talent is not visual. And I like that they showcase that. It's very, very new age, you know, and I like that people are embracing that concept.
Well, you know, I deal with a lot of business owners, and I find that we're all worried about, you know, the way we appear or the way we present ourselves or what people are going to think. And, geez, what a bunch of wasted time. But this gives people a chance to go on there and just, you know, I'm sure they're still really nervous, but to be able to show up as themselves first, you know, and not have to pretend to be someone else. So I didn't mean to get off track. I just think that's real important for people out there like yourself. Okay. You know who you are, you know where you want to go, and you're headed on that path. Okay, and, you know, and so it takes a lot to turn down the opportunity.
Yeah. But I did want to harp on something you mentioned. It is a bit of a travesty that we have incorporated into our lives the fact that appearance is so important, and not just physical appearance, but like your social media appearance, your full company's appearance. You know, not necessarily just what your product is, but the way your company looks and the way your company appears, it turns out, is just as important as your product. And though it is unfortunate, I just feel like it is a thing that, you know, budding entrepreneurs should definitely take into account, you know, that not only physical appearance when you show up to meetings, but like, you know, your cyber appearance. And that itself actually takes up a lot of my day, you know, just making sure that I constantly appear suitable online, you know, like my businesses look like there's some traffic or look like there's something going on. That takes up a lot of my day. And I think that's, and I know that a lot of people hate that. A lot of budding entrepreneurs hate having to sort of upkeep their social media or upkeep their, you know, this or their that. But it is really important. And I feel like it's something too, that people should start to actually embrace and like to do, so that they can continue to keep it going at the rate they would like.
Yeah, it's important to balance that, and it is very important to show up as yourself every day. So sometimes you could have other people do the admin work of it, but it should be your voice that's speaking. Because if people find out that you're not who you really are, you waste a lot of time.
Right. Authenticity.
Well, we're out of time, and we're going to have you back. There's a ton more things I'd love to talk to you about. First of all, tell everybody how they can find you, connect with you, hire you, buy your book, all that stuff.
Right. All right. So if you'd like to find my music, you can find it at lachimusic.com, which is LachiMusic.com. If you are interested in my writing and my novels, you can find that at mlachi.com, which is MLachi.com. If you are also interested in having your films scored or your music turned to sheet music, you can log on to music-scribes.com. So, and then for all three of those businesses that I mentioned, I am on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all over the internet. So Amazon, whatnot. So come find me. I'm very eager to meet anyone and everyone who is interested. I love to talk to people. I love to help people. But most importantly, I love to create. So let's get together and let's create something.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time today. I hope you have a great holiday. I'm going to be reaching out to you because I want to learn more and help you promote what you're doing. So thank you very much for spending time with us for that. All right. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with my second guest, who is a bestseller on Amazon as well, Amy Gale. She's the author of Amazon's new adult bestseller, Fistful Tragedy. So we're going to be right back. Just make sure, I'm going to read the website to you, mlachi.com. Check her out. She's awesome. You have to be inspired when you hear her story today. So reach out to her, connect with her, learn what you can do from the interview that she just gave us. We'll be right back after this year's short break.
Imagine taking your business to the masses using proven marketing techniques. What if you could take what you love and turn it into a six-figure business in the next 2 years? Or a $500,000 business in the next 3 to 4 years? Michelle Sism went from struggling to build her coaching practice to doing $500,000 in her business in less than 4 years when she uncovered the secrets to converting audiences to clients. In Cash In on Your Expertise, Michelle shares the exact strategy she used to build her business so quickly. Get your free copy today at www.cashinonyourexpertise.com.
Lauren Dono is an elite international certified high performance coach, author, and speaker with over 15 years experience helping clients transform so that they are living bolder, happier, and more successful lives. Through a combination of her world-class coaching program and exclusive assessments, her mission is to get to the crux of your issues quickly and accurately, and then guide you to achieve sustained and higher levels of clarity, joy, energy, connection, influence, and overall performance in every area of your life. To learn more or to contact Lauren, go to laurenjohnno.com.
All right. Welcome back to Workshop Wednesdays. And tomorrow, Thursdays, at 1:30 Central Standard Time, you can hear Life's Issues with Lauren Jahno here on Tough Talk Radio Network, as well as my radio show in the mornings on Thursday mornings, 9 a.m. Central Time, Tough Talk Christian Radio. Super excited about my second guest here today. This young lady is in the area where I grew up, actually, as I look on the bio here. She is from in the Pennsylvania area, okay, went to college in Pennsylvania, and talks about, she's a romance writer of America for the past few years with an affliction in the Valley Forge chapter, in the Valley Forge chapter, and I grew up right outside of Valley Forge, so I just want to welcome Amy Gale to the show. Amy, welcome.
Thank you, Tony. How are you today?
I am doing great. Now, so I grew up in a little town next to Valley Forge called Norristown, Pennsylvania, which I'm sure you heard of if you're in Valley Forge area at all.
Yeah, I'm near Scranton, so I'm pretty close.
Yeah. So interesting. I always get excited when I'm in Houston. I haven't lived in Pennsylvania since 1981. But I'm giving away my age now. But so... anyway, let's get back to this. You're an Amazon bestseller in adult writing. So when I hear that, I'm wondering, what does that mean?
It's actually new adult, Tony. And what that means is new adult takes place when you're out of high school, so it's out of the young adult genre, but you're not quite into the hustle and bustle of everyday life where you have your whole job and career together. It normally takes place in the college years when you're still trying to find exactly who you are.
Okay, cool. Because at first I'm thinking, what kind of books are these? Do people give me that all the time?
Yes, all the time. And they are romance books, so there are some spicy scenes, but it is not erotic romance.
Okay. Well, I mean, I like the fact that you're capturing their attention right from the get-go. So let me back up a little bit. You're in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Is that where you're from originally?
Yes.
Okay. And you went to college at Wilkes University, which is in Wilkesboro, Pennsylvania, and you graduated with a doctor of pharmacy degree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here I go. How did you come from that arena? So I'm assuming you're a pharmacist, right?
Yes, I'm a full-time pharmacist at our local Walmart. And it's an interesting story. I've always liked to write. But in college, when you're going in a doctorate program, you don't really have a lot of free time to write for fun. You're normally writing research papers and whatnot. And I was published when I was in college on the loading doses of Coumadin, but wasn't as much of a big seller as this one. But it actually turned out a couple of my friends formed a little book club, three of us. And we were reading, we started with the 50 Shades of Grey trend that everyone was so into, and we wanted to see what it was all about, and we fell in love with the characters and the whole story. So we started trying to find more books like that. And at the time, there wasn't a lot of them. So I said, oh, I'll make something up for us, and it'll be fun. We could read it and discuss it. And when I did that, they really liked it so much, they said, you should really pursue this. And that's when I joined the Romance Writers of America, because I had no idea how to even begin to even get into the publishing world. And I took a lot of workshops. I took a lot of classes. I joined contests. Found out everything I did wrong, fixed it all, and then I went into the whole publishing community. I sent out query letters, and I was lucky to get a contract with a small press out of Denver, Colorado, and they took my debut novel, Blissful Tragedy, and within 6 months, it was an Amazon New Adult bestseller.
That is awesome. So do the people come in to the pharmacy, do they know that you're an author, a best-selling author?
They do. I do a lot of signings locally. I've done a lot at the local Barnes & Nobles. So I do have some people coming in with books to the pharmacy to have me sign their books. But most of the time, they show up at the Barnes & Nobles, and I do a couple. I've done a few signings in New York City. I'll be doing one a lot in Philadelphia. I'll be doing one in Pittsburgh in March and then Atlantic City in June.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Yeah. You know, I would think that you have to kind of smile inside when people come up to you and recognize you as an author as well as a pharmacist. I mean, it's just, other than, you know, writing some type of paper, like you said, on Coumadin in college, you know, that's a stretch. So it's got to be kind of cool to have that different relationship with people, because you're telling them about medicine, you got to know about them, and there's a whole different connection there.
It's 100% different, and writing is my escape. So it's nice to have people connect with you. They read your novel that you worked so hard and poured your heart and soul into and tell you, I really loved this, I love this part. What happens to this character? Does this character feel that way? It's very interesting way to connect to people, and it's a very different way than healthcare to connect to people. Because obviously, I went to school to be a pharmacist to help people, which is I love doing every day, and I can't imagine not being a pharmacist. But this is so different. This is like people connecting with me on a whole different level. So it's awesome to be able to do both.
Yeah. Yeah, I've authored a couple books, and the first time I got to sign a book for someone was, well, it was kind of unexplainable. It took all the tiredness away to write the book. It just made it unexplainable. So it's a very good feeling to know that that you're reaching people in a different way. I mean, helping them with their medical, their prescriptions, and explaining that's one thing, but what you're doing is helping them to just, like, relieve. It's another form of medicine, I think, because that kind of puts them in another place, allows them to relax a little bit. So that's pretty awesome.
And I write
romance
because with a romance book, you know that you're always getting a happy ending. There has to be a satisfactory ending, or it's not really considered a romance novel. That's one of the criteria for romance novels. So I love it that you know you're going to end up happy, satisfied. So that, like you said, another form of medicine.
Yeah, yeah. So you've authored, I'm looking on your website, and it's authoramygale.com. People need to go to it. And I'm looking at 1, 2, 3... Is it 3 or 4 books you've done?
3 books so far. My newest one just released on November 5th, my Christmas story. And all of them are contemporary, so they take place in modern times. My first one, Blissful Tragedy, that's the one that hit the Amazon bestseller list first, actually follows a girl who just gets out of college, and she's had it with men. Her boyfriend in college cheated on her. She's ready for a fresh start. Her sister buys her concert tickets to an up-and-coming band for her graduation present, and she ends up meeting the singer of the band. So a little bit larger than life, but maybe could happen.
Yeah, it's, you know, I find it interesting that people are able to promote who they are deep inside by being able to either write their own story, write some type of story, you know, create music. It's just another way of creating conversation for others to learn more about you. So when you wrote your first book, what was the response from your family?
At first, they were a little bit surprised. I mean, my mother is always my biggest fan in everything. She thinks I could do anything in the world that I put my mind to, which is awesome. So she's like, oh, you're an author now? Well, you were a pharmacist for a while. That's good. I started laughing. I'm like, no, I'm going to be both. But my family is, I'm lucky. I have a great family. They support me in everything I do, and they support me in this. And they're always at my signings. They're helping me out. They're by word of mouth on my website. I do a lot of contests. I do a lot of online promotion, and they're always involved. So I'm really lucky to have a great, strong family.
So on your website, I want to mention again, authoramygale.com. And there's 2015, it says BCON FCRW finalist. What is that, symbol?
I just found out that is a contest. That's the Beacon Contest for the First Coast Romance Writers. It's one of the affiliations of the RWA that are set in Florida. And I just got the call a few weeks ago that my newest manuscript, Wrecked, which isn't published yet, has finaled in their contest. So I'm one of the top three finalists in that contest. So that's awesome. And what that means is gets out there a little bit more. It's always good to be an award-winning author. So that was very exciting news to hear.
Okay, so Amy, you're author of multiple books. You have a degree in pharmacy. You're a very smart person. What is the big picture here? I mean, is it to own your own chain of pharmacies? Is it to become a speaker and an author? Where do you want to go? What are you looking to hit? What's that target?
I would love to hit one of the big lists, like the New York Times or the USA Today list. That is definitely one of my goals. Also, I'd love to be in, you know, bookstores across the country instead of just, you know, the local ones. I just want to get my name out there, turn into a bigger author, basically. As for pharmacy, I'm right where I want to be. I don't plan on owning a chain of pharmacies or anything like that. I really enjoy my job. I'm just happy going there every day, so I want to definitely keep doing that. So my goal is basically to become a better author with a bigger fan base and hopefully sell more books.
So do you ever go and speak to groups of women? Because I would imagine that women are the biggest purchasers of your book.
They are,
definitely.
Because
men won't admit it. Yeah.
They definitely are. I have. I spoke a few local book clubs. I was lucky that my local salon let me do a book signing there, and I talk to people there. Always when I'm doing signings, I get in touch with people. But as for groups, it was mostly book clubs in the area that I speak to. And I also speak about my pharmacy career as well, because people are interested in that because, like you said, it's so different, and they're trying to wonder how a pharmacist becomes an author.
Right, it's kind of like, you know, you speak to a lot of women who are moms first, you know, and gave up work and then have to go back into the work world, and they have to face the challenges of believing in themselves or going in a different direction they were ever trained for, and you're an example that you can do that. So I would think that there's a lot of women's groups, whether they're mommy bloggers or, you know, meetups. There's all types of women's groups that would have you come and speak to them And we both know that selling our books doesn't make us rich, just gives us credibility and opportunity to help others get through their day. So I was curious to see if you ever reached out onto meetup.com to see the local groups of moms or, you know, stay-at-home moms, moms with battles. There's all kinds of mothers groups and women's groups that you could go speak to. I was just wondering if you ever did that.
I haven't spoke to any women's or mothers groups. Usually I connect with people on my Facebook page or through my blog or my website. So mostly it's email, but I've never spoken to any of those particular groups, but I certainly would do that, definitely.
So I don't know if you've ever used meetup.com, but it is a place where you can find anywhere from 5 miles from your address to 150 miles to your address of groups that meet, and you can join the groups for free. You can learn about the people in them by reading their profile, and you can offer the leader of the group, usually they meet maybe once a month or sometimes twice a month, you can offer them a free copy of your book so that they will let you come and speak to their group and, you know, sell books in the back of the room. And you just
never
know who's in.
Yeah,
you never know who's in the room.
I will definitely look into that, Tony. That's a good idea.
Yeah, meetup.com was created back when 9/11 happened because, you know, it's a shame to say it like this, but our country was being friendly with each other, different states, and everybody was coming together. So they created a thing called meetup.com so people could touch with people all around the world, all across the country. And you can even create your own meetup group for women that like to read, that type of stuff. So it's really cool. It's another form of social media that isn't stuck only on Facebook. So you can get all your Facebook friends to come and join you on Meetup. And if you're going to speak somewhere, you can use both platforms to announce it so everybody can come. And when the Meetup groups see that you bring people with you, they're begging you to come back.
Yeah.
So
well, I'm definitely
it's a good way
look
to promote.
That.
Yeah, it's a great way. I use it all the time. We run networking business groups here in Houston area, so we use Meetup a lot to find other people. And so if I go to your website, I can find out, you know, a little bit about your bio, who you are, what you do. But on Meetup, if you fill out the information to join those groups for free, if there's other groups in the area similar to that, Meetup will send that information to you so you can look at it. So they do a lot of the work for you. So anyway, I didn't mean to go off track there. I love for people to be able to take advantage of things that are out there in their area, because I'm sure drive to King of Prussia, which is a very busy area next to Valley Forge, there's a lot of meetups there. And I know because
I
had a meetup group there.
I just did a book signing there. Actually, Philly Author Fest happened on November 14th, so I was just in the King of Prussia area. And speaking of meeting people, from doing all the signings I've done in the different areas, I have met a lot of different authors as well as different readers. So another thing that I've taken part in is an anthology with 7 other Philadelphia area writers, and this is where my two careers come together again. We put all our 8 books together, so there's a box set of 8 books for 99 cents, and we're donating all of the proceeds to the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and it's called Written with Love. And you get all 8 books from the 8 different authors for only 99 cents, and you're helping the Children's Hospital of Pennsylvania.
That's awesome. That is
awesome.
We, you know, here at Tough Talk, I do compilation books. We did one last year with 28 authors, and we're doing one that's coming out this month with 16 authors, and it's about people writing a chapter in a book telling their journey in life, how they got to where they are, and all the adversities they've overcome. So, I mean, that's a great way to network yourself with other like-minded people. And, you know, some of us get selfish sometimes, and no matter how much they sell that book, it's going to help all of them. So that's a great opportunity there. Yeah, very good. You should also reach out to all the pharmacists that you know and get them to write a story in a book of yours.
Yeah, I wish I could get all the pharmacists to do that, but I'm scared what it would end up like, especially
yeah. That's funny. Excuse me. Well, we're up against the clock, so if you could let everybody know how they can find you, how they can get a hold of you, how they can have you come speak, and let us know when the next book. I'm sure you have another book coming up soon.
Okay. Well, you can connect with me the easiest on my website, very easy, www.authoramygale.com, and that's AmyGale. And you can click any of the icons for my Facebook, Twitter. You can hit contact me, it'll email directly to me, or you can contact, I have a part down there, you can contact my personal assistant. You can just click on that, and we can schedule, definitely. My next book, I'm in the process of writing now. I'm not sure exactly when the one that finaled in the Beacon will be published. I don't have a date on that yet. But my two upcoming works is I have one that's going to be out for Valentine's Day, and that's going to be another anthology. And this one is going to go to, for my other passion, helping animals. So we're going to donate to an animal charity. We haven't chosen exactly which one yet. And I also, in 2016, have a Halloween book coming out. Ghost story on that one.
So you're busy. You're staying pretty busy.
I'm busy.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, we really appreciate your time today. And I just hope that there's an opportunity for you to come back so we can help promote more of what you're doing. And if you need any help with Meetup, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. I'll be reaching out to you off the air as well with the link to the recording and stuff, so you have an email to come directly back to me.
Okay, Tony, thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Well, folks, we're up against the clock, and we had a great show here today. We had Amy Gale, who you just heard, and you can get to her information by going to authoramygale.com. Okay, and take advantage of that opportunity to meet Amy, who she's in the Northeast, and, well, great story behind what she does and the books that she's putting out there. Also, my first guest is M. Lacey, who is out of the New York area. So we hope that you'll stay tuned every week here on Workshop Wednesdays, every Wednesday morning at 10:30 Central Standard Time, coming to you live out of the Tough Talk Radio Network. That's our show for today, and we hope that everyone has a blessed week. We look forward to talking to you next week.
This has been another edition of Workshop Wednesdays, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.